You miss session one, please do make that up, okay? Really, this session today is the meat, is the heart of it all, okay? So I'm glad you guys are here for that. So we'll start. Let me just pray for us, okay? All right, God, we welcome you. We bless you. We thank you for your promise that we're two or more are gathered, there you are with them. You are objectively here with us. Amen. God, we might not feel anything. Mm-hmm. We might not sense anything. We might be in our own thoughts, but it doesn't matter because you are here. And we ask that you would minister to us now through your word. Minister your spirit to us. Minister the foundations of the Christian life. God, and may they be ministered to us in such a way that will be that you will build upon that. And there will be things that you are strengthening that, oh, and there will be new things that you will be doing. We just thank you for all that. And we ask for your Holy Spirit now. God, otherwise it's just empty words. And so we ask, we thank you that every word, God, is breathed out by God. And so we welcome you right now to breathe upon us afresh and minister the truth to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, so this is kind of a combo class of both baptism preparation as well as going over the Christian foundations. It's one and the same thing. We went over frequently asked questions, numbers 1 through 5 last week. So let's go over number 6 through 7. How should I prepare myself for Christian baptism? Okay, so the baptism is in 3 weeks. So I'm on page 1 here. Prepare as for a marriage, very soberly. Okay. Join the baptism class for each session, which you guys are doing. Second, prepare your heart for baptism through repentance of sins, prayer, worship, reading of scripture, and even fasting if appropriate. What you'll want to do is just set aside time, put it in your calendar, you know, because you guys may be facing a lot of things will come your way, okay? May come your way. You know, it's weird. My children, Natalie's been baptized, but we dedicated our children to the Lord at a service at church. And I've been driving over 20 years. And I've had 2 accidents in my life. And both accidents happened the day before the dedication. Hmm. Okay? It was crazy, right? So, but just know that God is taking you in this journey. He's in control, okay? And we, like we learned today, we stand firm in our faith, okay? But just the best way to prepare, though, is I said all that to say just set aside some time in your calendar to pray, spend time with the Lord, and prepare your heart, okay? So that you can experience the good of it, okay? During your individual preparation, ask the Lord to speak to you and give you a scripture for your baptism. And finally, write down a brief testimony, 500 words or less, of what God has done in your life and why you want to be baptized into Christ and His church, okay? So it's a good time now to start preparing your testimony. Okay. So you might be like, what's that about? Well, question number 7. What can I expect from the baptismal ceremony? Okay. The service will take place 3 Sundays from now on June 23rd during the worship service. Okay. And will consist of the following. Everyone who's wanting to be baptized will give a testimony. Okay. 500 words, guys, goes fast. If you talk fast, it'll go in about 1 minute and 30 seconds. But don't go fast. Enjoy the moment, okay? And you don't have to fill that time. Just share genuinely what... And so what you want to do is what the Lord has done in your life, right? You guys all raised your hand because God has done something. I don't think anyone is here because you're doing a checkbox, right? The Lord has done something in your life.
Many things.
Many things. So you're going to have to cut it down. You can't talk about everything. Okay? I'll help you with that. Every single person, I will help you with that. Or I'll find another leader in the church to work with you. Okay? So that you feel good.
Incident that happened?
Yeah. Okay. Perhaps, yeah. Okay? I'll write you guys all another email about that. We'll go into it further. And it's awesome. When people give testimonies, it's the most awesome thing. And when multiple people give testimonies, it's just amazing. And then you'll be baptized in the water. Okay, full immersion. So I'll tell you guys what kind of clothes to bring. Okay, you'll want to bring like a dark shirt and a change of clothes. And we'll figure that all out. And then you'll be anointed with oil, okay, by pastor. And we'll pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And there will be a nice celebration over lunch, I believe.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Woohoo! Yeah, I was nervous too when I got baptized. And I was nervous when I got married. That's all part of it. Just expect that. You know, you'll be nervous. That's fine. Everyone is nervous when they get baptized.
Just asking personally, how old were you when you got married and how old were you when you got baptized?
I was 25 when I got married, so I was like a little baby. And then I might have been like 27
okay.
when I got baptized.
I'm just asking.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's always nerve. Yeah. When you go up and talk, it's fine. Okay?
You were baptized in this church.
I was baptized at VCF. Okay? Any other questions about baptism? Yeah?
How many times do you do it? How many times do you do it?
Adults? Well, youth and adults, it's just once. Okay? Now, there's exceptions because some people... They may like, let's say they fall away from the Lord, or they feel very dry, and then God rejuvenates them, renews them, and so they may want to get baptized again as just like another, you know, they want it again, but usually it's just once. And then there's people who get baptized as infants, and then they want to, you know, but they didn't have a choice over that, right? So they want to get baptized again. And so that's okay. All right? Yeah. Okay. All right. So today we're going to talk about this theme of going from being dead to alive. And obviously, we're not talking about literal death, but we're talking about being spiritually dead and becoming spiritually alive. Okay? And there's really three passages we're going to look at. Okay? And by God's grace, we will get through all three of them, okay? Without going too long. The three passages are really the Colossians 2 and Romans 6 are the baptism scripture verses. Okay? And we're going to look at those. So Colossians 2:13, it says, You who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him. Okay? Romans 8:2, for the law of the spirit of life, notice life, has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Okay, so you see that theme, death and life. Romans 6:11, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Okay? And hopefully, in 1 hour, you'll have a very good understanding of these scriptures. Okay? That you will be able to explain to anyone what these scriptures mean. All right? So let's jump into Colossians 2 first. Please feel free to, you know, interrupt me and ask questions, okay? because that actually really helps. It may help other people who have the same question. So let me read the scriptures, verses 11 through 15. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. Verse 13, and you who were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Okay? You know, that's a lot. When I read that, I'm like, I don't understand anything. So let's start very small and try to understand what this means, okay? So it might be good for you guys to have a pen and follow with me, okay? So this part of the scripture, there's really two transitions that it talks about, okay? Or transformations. One is going from dead to alive. You guys see that in verse 13? It says, you were dead, and then God made you alive. All right? That's transition number one. Transition number two is it's from uncircumcision to circumcision. Can you see that? It says in verse 13, it says, you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Okay? But then in verse 11, it says, in him you were circumcised. Okay? It's okay if it's... We'll go into it, but it's like you went from dead to alive and uncircumcised to circumcised. Okay? Now, I'm going to really focus on verse 13 because it says that you were dead in two things. We were dead in two things. And the two things are, number one, in your trespasses or in your sins. Yeah? And number two is in the uncircumcision of your flesh. Those are the two reasons why we were dead. Or we were dead in those two things. Okay? And last week, question, Tara.
So circumcision only applies to males. So is there like a female equivalent? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, this applies. So this is not a circumcision made with hands. That's done on males.
Okay, so it's this is kind of one and the same metaphor.
Yes, okay. It's a metaphor, okay?
Okay.
And then in a little bit, we'll go to my awesome picture, page number 6, but don't turn there yet, okay? So last week, remember we talked about how God dealt with sins, our trespasses, right? And we talked about how the blood of Christ dealt with our sins, right? And that the blood was for
God,
so that he could pass over the sins, right? And we talked about how through that he reconciled us to himself, he brought us close to himself, and that there's no condemnation. And we said that condemnation is not a feeling, it's not the feeling of being condemned, but it's an objective reality that there is no condemnation between us and God, right? God will not condemn us, okay? So if you missed that, please, the notes as well as the recording is online, okay? So that's what we discussed last week. So the blood of Christ is how God dealt with the trespasses, okay? But now we're going to talk about, so let's go to picture number one. Go to your last page. It's page number 6. You guys see picture number one? Yeah? Mm-hmm. So, in the before picture, there's this big divide, there's this big gap between us and God. And this was because of our trespasses, right? And we talked about how because God is a perfectly holy and righteous God, right? once we've sinned, we cannot be near him. Objectively, we cannot be near him. It's not the feeling of feeling close, but we objectively. And because of that, God gave his only son, the perfect lamb without blemish. And because of that, God has brought us near. So that's the after picture. He has objectively brought us near. Okay? But imagine that, see, I'm a Korean, right? I'm not Korean, actually. Wrong. I was a Korean. I am a United States citizen now, okay? But I'm from Korea, and in Korea, we talk Korean, okay? So imagine that God, in his house, he talks English, okay? And so he brought me from Korea to his house, but I still only know how to talk Korean. So he has brought me close, but I don't even know how to relate to this God. It's like all just foreign to me, okay? And actually, this is how it was for me when I first became a Christian, okay? And I don't know if you guys can relate to this, that me, it says, the Bible says that he brought me close, but like, how do I begin to relate to him, right? And so when I became a Christian, I just said, I believe in Jesus. I want to become a Christian because my life is empty and I'm looking for something, okay? And nothing spectacular happened to me, okay? Like, I didn't have, like, nothing. I didn't cry. No one, you know, someone prayed for me, but I didn't feel anything. And then I would go to Bible studies, and I wouldn't get anything out of it. Okay? And then people would be all asking interesting questions and stuff, and I'd be like, I don't understand anything. Okay? And so, even though I had become a Christian, okay, and someone had prayed for me, I didn't experience God at all. And so I had a lot of doubt. Like, is this real or is this fake? You know, and when I prayed to him, does he hear me or not? Okay, and really, I was 18 years old at this time, and I began to have a crisis of my faith, okay, because I wasn't experiencing God subjectively. It was all just up here in my head, and it was just like faith, okay? And what happened is that I went to my first fall conference, okay? And when you go Friday night, like, everyone is like raising their hands and they're all praising the Lord, right? And I was like, I don't feel anything, okay? And I'm just sharing that because sometimes the Christian life can be like that, where you're like, oh yeah, God's supposed to be this amazing thing. He has brought us close, but it's like he's speaking English and we're speaking Korean. And so there's no connection, okay? And really, this gets at the heart of we were dead in the uncircumcision of our flesh, okay? And so what has to happen is he brings us close, but he needs to start to change us. He has to do something in us so that we can experience God in our humanity, okay? So what does it mean to be dead or alive? Okay? So obviously it doesn't mean literally, okay? This is what I believe it means, okay? So I'll just give you guys a quick example. So when I was in college, when I was 20 years old, I met Amanda, okay? And she was 18 at that time. But when I met her, I had gone through different things, and I was not interested in girls. Or I had said, I'm not going to be interested in girls. And so when I met Amanda, there was like no mutual attraction, because like we weren't giving off signs like, hey, so we were just totally just whatever, platonic, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but then some, for various reasons, we started to just meet once a week to talk about life and God and what God was doing in our lives, okay? And so, but and at a certain point as we did that, and I think it was around, so I met her maybe September, and then maybe like around March, I was having coffee with her at a cafe, and then all of a sudden, I started looking at her in a different way. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? All of a sudden, I was like, oh, wait a minute. And so I started to have different thoughts and different feelings towards her, okay? And so what you could say is that in the beginning, I was dead to those feelings and thoughts, okay? So like I was dead to those romantic thoughts and feelings, but at a certain point, I didn't make myself come alive, but I became alive to them. Okay? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So, you know, another example could be like, if you're deaf, right? If you can't hear, there's sound, right? There's music, but you're dead to that, right? You're as far as you know, you're dead to that. It's not that those things don't exist, but you are dead to that. You are dead. You're not able to appreciate it and take it in. If God heals you, you become alive. Your hearing becomes alive, and you can appreciate that, okay? And so what it says is, what the scripture says is that we were dead in the uncircumcision of our flesh, okay? So we were dead to God. Even though God is there, we were dead to that. Like, it's almost like we couldn't hear him. We couldn't feel him. We couldn't hear his voice, okay? And so, what does it mean that we are dead in the uncircumcision of our flesh? So let's go into the flesh a little bit, okay? Some of you may be asking, so tell me a little bit more about the flesh. Okay, I think it's important for us. The flesh, according to Romans 8, 7, it says, the flesh is hostile to God. It cannot submit to God's law, and it cannot please God. Okay, I'm at the bottom of page 2 still. Okay? And then I'm going to go to page 3. The flesh, it's not all bad. Okay? And so that's why there's like, quote-unquote, good people in the world. And they do good things. Both non-Christians and Christians are perfectly capable of doing good, quote unquote, good things. Okay? The flesh does not mean it's 100% evil. Okay? It's not all bad because we were initially made in the image of God. Okay? In Genesis 1, or maybe 2, right? We were created in the image of God. But then our great ancestor Adam, he sinned. In Genesis 3, and so sin and death came into the world, okay? And because of that, no matter how hard we try, we have that in us, so we are all subject to sin, okay? And the result of sin is death. That's why every single person dies, okay? Death is a result of sin. Okay, before sin, we would have lived forever, okay? The flesh is subject to things like this, and you guys might relate to some of these, okay? Anger, okay? So the flesh, so, you know, we might come and we might get all, what's the right word? Motivated, or we might have desire for God, but at the same time, there's this other, we have this dual nature. And so our flesh is subject to things like anger, resentment, pride, presumptuousness, untruth, okay? We might lie once in a while, deceit, We might be envious or jealous of people who are doing better than us. Avarice or greed, okay, instead of being generous. Fear, anxiety, intemperance, gluttony, that means instead of being temperate, instead of, you know, just taking what only we need, we take more than we need. Lust, laziness, hopelessness, despair, faithlessness. Okay? These are all symptoms of the flesh. Okay? And perhaps you may want to just, you know, circle some of these or just note in your mind, okay, yeah, this is the flesh. This is what my flesh struggles with. Okay? And so, but what the Colossians 2:13 says is that it says God dealt with this flesh. It used to be uncircumcised, but it says now we have been circumcised. It says in him, verse 11, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That's a handful, okay? So what is it saying? It's saying you were circumcised. No, so remember, note it says in him. Okay? So it's in Christ. You were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. So this is we're not talking about the physical circumcision here. And it says, in that circumcision, it put off the body of the flesh, and the way it happened was by the circumcision of Christ. Okay. So let's take a look at picture number two, because I, you know. Okay, so picture number two. You guys see the before? Okay? And what I'm trying to show there is that, remember we talked about what it means to be dead versus alive, right? So at the top there, we have God and his love and his mercy, and he's trying to relate to us. But there's this thing called the flesh that stands in the way, okay? And when we were uncircumcised in our flesh was very much alive, okay? And I'm going to just call it our heart was dead, okay? So there was this flesh acted as it was like a barrier between God and our heart. Do you guys see that picture? Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so, no matter what God was doing, we were dead. It was like we were just deaf and blind to it. Okay? What it says is that when he circumcised us, right, with a circumcision not made with hands, but by the circumcision of Christ, look at the after picture. What I'm trying to show there is that God took off that flesh. Circumcised means you cut into that flesh, right? He cut it, and then he took it off. And actually, that part is dead. Okay? And because of that, now we're alive to God. There's two things here, though. So this did not happen. We did not circumcise ourselves, okay? It happened through the circumcision of Christ. So it says, so the thing that I want to highlight here is if you go back to page 2 and the Colossians 2 passage, I want you to circle every instance of in him or with him. Can you go through that and see how many you find?
Of the verses?
Yeah, in verses 11 through 15, look for in him or with him or anything similar to that. You should find five. If you find more, then that's great. But I found five. Okay, ready? Verse 11, it says, in him, right? It starts with in him. Verse 12, having been buried with him. Okay? I'm looking at Daniel's because he circled it for me. Verse 12 again, you were raised with him. Yeah? Verse 13, God made you alive together with him. Okay? And then at the bottom of verse 15, he triumphed over them in him. Yeah? So what is that about? Okay? What is that about? And you know how Christians say, when Christians maybe write a letter, they'll write, in Christ? What do they mean? Is that just, they just pick it up? What do you think it means?
I think it means through Christ.
Okay. Through Christ, okay?
Christ, you can, or faith in Christ?
Yeah. Yeah, it could mean that you're, when you say, when people write in Christ, I'm saying, I have faith in Christ. Yeah? Yes. Yes. Okay? So how did, because it's really weird because it says, in him we were circumcised. I didn't know that happened. Did you guys know that happened? We were buried with him. And we were raised with him. And God made us alive together with him. And so there's an important thing here that I want to point out, which is that when we have faith in Jesus, okay? A lot of times, I'm going to use this word here, right? So when I first put my faith in Jesus, it looked like this. I said, the first thing I said is that Jesus is the Son of God. Right? That's one of the, like for me, that was my profession of my faith. I said, yeah, Jesus is the Son of God. Okay? And then the more I learned about Christianity, I said, okay. Whoa! Oh.
Good catch.
Thank you. Alright. And then I realized, oh, he is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. And then I realized, oh, he died for me. Jesus died for me and rose again. Okay? And we learn like he died in my place, right? Because what Colossians 2 and what baptism talks about is that when Jesus died and rose again, right? He did it as a representative, and I was included in it. Okay? And so, Michael uses this example, and this comes from Watchman Nee, right?
Yeah.
That if you put a piece of paper in the book, and the book gets sent to China, if the paper is in the book, it also goes to China, right? And so, one aspect of our faith, okay, and when we get baptized, this is faith, is that we believe that when Jesus died and he was buried, okay, we believe that we died with him. We died in him, okay? And he didn't kill us, but he killed the flesh. He uncircumcised the flesh. He chopped off that thing that is hostile to God, that is subject to sin. He killed it. We died there. Okay? We died with him. Okay? And then we also believe when we come out of the water, that just as Jesus was dead, right? For 3 days. Okay? And when we come out of the water, he was raised by the power of God. Okay? No one ever, there's no other power like that that can take a dead, something that is objectively dead, to life. And so we believe, our faith is that when, just as Jesus rose from the dead, we rose with him, right? We were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God. So what is our faith in? It's in the powerful working of God. Okay? And so I have a quote here from Watchman Nee. It says, Lord Jesus, when he died on the cross and he shed his blood, shed his blood. But the Lord, one sec. Says, but the Lord did not die only to shed his blood. He did not die just to take care of our trespasses. Okay? Because we were dead in two things. He died that we might die. Okay? And in his death, he included you and me. He died as our representative. He included me in his death and in his resurrection. Okay? Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27. It's an Old Testament, okay, that looks forward to the work of Christ. It says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Okay? That's another kind of analogy, right? Another example. It's like, the heart was stone, it was hard, right? But it became flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. And you see here how it's going from the old covenant to the new covenant. The old covenant was the law. You knew what to do, and you had to somehow try to figure out how to do it. The new covenant, it's internal. God actually changes us. Okay? And it foreshadows an effective inward work of God through the Holy Spirit in the new covenant. And so, before we go to page 4, I'll just continue my story here. So, I had become a Christian, right? And I had put my faith in God, and see, what happened is that even though I didn't feel anything, God had brought me close to him, and he had uncircumcised, he had dealt with the uncircumcision of my flesh. He had circumcised my heart, and so that I could begin to experience him and experience his grace, okay? But I didn't know that. And really, so I had this crisis of faith, you know? And so, but when I look back at it 20 years from now, I knew God was working because I had a hunger for God. I was going to these Bible studies and wanting to know him. And that, you know, so that was a sign, but I couldn't detect it myself. Okay? But anyways, so I went to this fall conference, and Friday night, everyone's raising their hand and praising God, and I'm looking around and I'm like, I am so different from these people, and I don't know if I believe this anymore, you know? And Saturday morning came, again the same thing. People are praising God, and I am not experiencing anything, okay? And then Saturday night comes, and again, I'm very disappointed, okay? And so after the session was over, if you guys have been to fall conference, you know how it is. There's a session, and then, you know, because we're college students, we just hang out late at night. And so I was talking with someone, and I was talking with my Bible study leader, and I was just telling him, yeah, I'm ready to give up, you know, because I don't feel any different, nothing's happening in my life. And in fact, I was having a very hard time in school, so I just had a lot of problems. And then he just started to share with me his testimony. And it was not a really fancy testimony, but he had somehow become a Christian in high school. And then he lived in San Francisco. And so he, one night, he was in his bedroom, and he felt like God said, he would usually sit on his bed and read, okay? And he felt something, and he felt he should, like, get off the bed and kneel or read somewhere else, okay? And then a few minutes later, he heard gunshots, okay? And the bullet came through the wall and went through where he would have been sitting, you know? And then he just shared that, you know, as a matter of fact. And then he just told about how he just said, yeah, and then I've become very serious now, and I'm going to go all the way with God, okay? And then, and see, what happened was, because God had circumcised my heart, that testimony somehow started to resonate in my heart. And then, all of a sudden, I began to feel all this emotion. I said, I gotta go, you know? And I went back to my cabin, and then I just started crying, you know? And during that time, I just, the things that I thought of were how, yeah, there were two moments in my life I could have died, you know? One time when I was a kid, I went on, like, quicksand in Korea, and, you know, you start sinking, right? And somehow, I got out of it. I don't know how I got out of it. You know, so God was showing me this, how, like, he was in my life. There was another time in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It was snowing, and a car was coming, and there was snow, and he, like, lost control, and he went, he was coming right for me, and he just barely missed me, you know? And so, like, and so I just started crying, and then I just started thinking about how I was in high school, and how I was, like, what I felt was I had been a very mean brother, older brother to my younger brother, you know? So I just started confessing to God, like, God, forgive me for, you know, for how awful I was, you know? And I just cried, and I fell asleep, I think, okay? But it was, like, the first time, like, I felt something happened to me, you know? And I'm just sharing that to encourage you, okay? That because, see, when we professed our faith in Christ, he made us, we know this, he made us a new creation, okay? We're looking at other different sides to this. What it means is that he killed that flesh. He took it off of us, okay? We're going to talk about, in the next session, living according to the Spirit versus according to flesh, okay? Because of that, he had given me a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. Okay? And so over time, God was softening it, and it happened that Saturday night. Okay? And then I'll just share one more thing. Is after I became a Christian, you know, I was taught right away to start spending time with God every day on my own. Okay? And if you're at VCF, you know this, right? You spend time with God. You open up the word and you say, Lord, speak to me, you know? And I did that as faithfully as I could, but nothing happened for me, okay? Nothing happened for me, and I started to read the book of Luke, and Luke's got like 28 chapters. I would read Luke 1, Luke 2, Luke 3, Luke 4. Nothing happened until I got to like Luke 24, okay? By the time I read Luke 24, one day I was reading it and I said, oh, I think God wants me to forgive somebody. You know? Because it said, Jesus was forgiving. He said, forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing. So I just felt, oh, I should forgive this person that has hurt me dearly. Okay? And that, when I did that, that led to another huge transformation in my heart and in my life. Okay? So, little by little, I began to subjectively experience that. Okay? And so the good news is that for all of us, I want you to just remember this picture, that's the true picture of your heart, is that the flesh has been cut off and is actually dead, and you're alive to God. Okay? Any questions before we go to the next part, Romans 8? All right, this is where we'll get picture number 3, okay? So let's go to page number 4. Romans 8. I'm just going to read the first 6 verses. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We went over that last week. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Okay? I'm going to really focus on verse 2. Because it talks about there is something that has set us free in Christ Jesus. Can you see that? Mm-hmm. And if you've been Christian for a while, you might know, oh, we're free. What does that mean? Okay, we're going to go into that right now, okay? What does it mean that we have been set free? Okay? So, what has set us free? Verse 2 says, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Okay, see that? So there's two things. There's two different laws. There's the law of the Spirit of life and the law of sin and death. Okay? And it says, one law set me free from another law. Okay? Now, this is where it gets confusing, because in verse 3, it says, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. Okay? So when we think about the law traditionally in Scripture, okay, is referring to the law of the Old Testament, or the Mosaic law, right? You do this, you do that, don't do this, don't do that, that's the law, okay? But obviously that doesn't make sense to apply that definition to verse 2, right? The law of the Spirit of life, what the heck is that? Or the law of sin and death, okay? So the law, the Greek word law, it has another meaning, and it means the principle or power or authority, okay? Let's use the word power, okay? I like the word power, okay? If you hang around Stephen Mubanga, he's always talking about power, okay? power. The power of the Spirit of life has set me free, set us free from the power of sin and death, okay? So what does that mean? It means that one power is more powerful than another power. Yeah? Right? That's the only way one power can set another one free, right? So like, if Ash is in prison, you know, by some terrorist put him in prison, if I go and my power is weaker than the terrorist, I'm going to lose. If my power is greater, I'm going to beat those terrorists and free Ash. Yeah? So it means that the power or the law of the Spirit of life is more powerful than the law of sin and death. Praise God.
Amen.
Okay? Because we experience the power of sin and death. all the time. Yeah? Right?
Yes.
Unfortunately,
yes. Yeah? But this verse tells us there's a stronger power than that. And that is that stronger power has set us free. Okay? And what this power results in is that instead of sin dwelling in me, the Holy Spirit dwells in me. Okay? We'll talk more about that in session 3. Okay? So let's go to this picture number 3. Okay? You might be wondering, what is this picture about?
Solar flares.
Solar flares? Can anyone guess what this picture is about?
Maybe before it's something stay inside.
Yeah.
After it's something come out.
That's right. Amen. Okay? So, the inner circle, let's call it the earth. Okay? Okay? And if you jump, okay? If you jump from the earth, you will land back on the earth. Right? Even Michael Jordan can jump, and he will jump maybe 40 inches high, but he will come back down to earth. Yeah? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know why? Because there's a power. It's called gravity, okay? To escape the... Do you know that there's a place out in... Once you get a little far from the earth, you can... where you're not affected by the gravity? You know there's such a place? Huh?
Yeah, outer space.
Yeah.
Astronauts.
Okay. Right. But there's this... But here's the thing, is like, so if, let's say you're you're on a rocket ship now, okay? If you're on a rocket ship and it's got some power, it jumps higher than us, but if it doesn't have enough power, it'll go boom. Yeah? So the rocket has to have enough power to have enough energy to completely go past the power of gravity. Yeah? So if it has enough power, at some point, it'll go there, okay? And so there's, you know, you guys know there's like all these, there's a bazillion satellites that orbit the Earth. Okay? So they were launched with enough power, okay? And so that's what that picture's about, okay? But as I was drawing this, this describes our Christian life, okay? There's a way to live the Christian life by our flesh. Okay? You try to be a good Christian. Okay? You try to do the right thing. Okay? Because we all know what's right and wrong, right? Some of it might be fuzzy, but we more or less know, and we try hard. You know, we try hard not to get angry. Or not to sin and lust. Right? Or we try not to feel so jealous of other people or envious of other people. You know what I mean? We know when something ain't right, and we try. If you do that in the flesh, at best, you go, and you fall. Okay? That's the Christian life. Someone's trying to call me, sorry. Okay? And so, this picture on the left, without the power, without being set free, this will be our Christian experience. Okay? And some people are try really, really hard. They're super disciplined. Okay? And they'll get super, super close. But after some time, it's just not enough. Okay? Verse 3, what does Romans 8 say? It says, God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. Okay? The law, weakened by the flesh, could not get us to live righteously before God. Okay? We could not fulfill the righteous requirements. No matter how hard we try, because the flesh is weakened and it is subject to sin, okay? No matter how hard you try, you will fall back to earth, okay? So we have to give that up, okay? So if your Christian life has been like, I messed up, I'm going to try harder, no, okay? That's just feeding your pride. Your flesh cannot do it. Okay? I'll do better next time? No. That's a nice, it's okay to think that, but it's not biblical. Okay, that's not how you grow as a Christian. Okay? Trying harder, more willpower, okay? All that does not work, okay? What we need is to set free, to be set, is being set free by the Spirit of life. Okay? Now this Spirit of life, what it means is that when we jump, gravity pulls us down, right? But if there's another power, it'll help us to keep going. It's not us that elevates us, but it's the power. Does that make sense? It's not us. It's the power. It's the different law. Okay? It's a different law, and it sets us free. Now we're outside of that pull of gravity. We're outside that pull of sin. Okay? And so what does it mean to be set free? Okay? What does it mean to be free? Yeah? It does not mean we do whatever we want. That is actually bondage. But what does it mean to be set free? If we look at Romans 8, there are two things. In verse 4, it says, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk, notice that, right? Who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay? So that's the first thing. The first thing that freedom gives us, it allows us to walk differently. You don't have to walk in the flesh, according to the flesh anymore. You could walk according to the Spirit. The second thing is in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So the second thing that freedom allows you to do, allows us to do, is it also set our mind on something else. Okay? So there's two things. We're set free, we can walk differently, and we can set our minds on something else. Praise God. Praise God, right? Being set free, guys, it's not a feeling. And I talk about this a lot, okay? It's not a feeling. It doesn't mean you feel set free. Okay? It's not a nice feeling. You may get a nice feeling, but you may not get a nice feeling. You may feel the same. You may feel like crap. Okay? Even though you've been set free, you might feel terrible. Okay? But the freedom is an objective freedom. Okay? It's like you're out of prison. Okay? So you could be in prison and feel great, but you're not set free. But you could be out of prison and feel terrible, but you're still free. When you're out of prison, though, you can walk differently and set your mind on something different. Okay? So the nature of freedom, I'm at the bottom of page 4, it basically lives us to live, allows another way, a higher, a better way. Okay? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, is it trying harder to walk in the Spirit or, like, stay in the Spirit? And, like, how does that stay in the Spirit? Like, how do you get in the room?
Good question. You stumped me. Yeah. Yeah. You're basically asking, yeah, so how does it, what does it mean to really walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh? I'm saying try hard in the sense of walking according to the flesh. Okay. Trying hard to do the right thing according to the law, according to the flesh. Now, I believe people like Michael Coe, they try really hard to live in the Spirit. They put in a lot of effort, for sure.
Still you know? There's still a choice.
There's still a choice, that. Yeah. Okay? But it's different. It's tapping into the Spirit. Okay? And that's really what I'm going to try to cover in the next session. Okay? So, with that, we're running out of time. We have 12 minutes. I'm going to go through to Romans 6 real quick, okay? Let's go to page 5. So, God has done all this, right? God did this through Jesus. We didn't, so far, we haven't talked about anything we do. Yeah? And so, the question I'm going to ask now is, so how shall we live? Okay? What is our part in the new covenant? Okay? I'm going to just go over one thing. So, Romans 6, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but let's read verse 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Right? He's basically asking a question, how should we live? Because people were saying, well, if we sin, we experience more grace, so let's just keep sinning. And he's like, no. By no means. How can we who die to sin still live in it? Right? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Right? And so, I'm going to skip verses 4 through 11. Verse 4 through 10, I'm going to go to verse 11. So it says, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ in Christ, alive to God in Christ Jesus. Because so far we've talked about how God has made us alive. We were dead in trespasses. We were dead in the uncircumcision of our flesh. He made us alive. Romans 6:11 says, you must. You guys see that? It's not a nice to do, guys. You must. You must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You have to think of yourselves this way. Okay? You're not to think of yourself as, oh man, I am a sinful person, I'm going to fall. No. Okay? That is true, but that's not true according to the Bible and what Christ has done. We are, it says, we're dead to sin, and we're alive to God. So you have to consider. So, it's, and guys, this is why I drew this picture. If you take away anything, right, take away these pictures and put that in your mind. Okay? Because this is who we are. This is the truth. It says, God has brought us close through the blood. Right? That's picture number one. Picture number two, he dealt with the uncircumcision of our flesh. We're not dead, but we're alive to him. Picture number three says, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Yeah? This is the truth about us and God. This picture right here. Okay? And what Romans 6:11 says is, it's a very, very famous scripture, guys. It says, you have to consider yourselves dead to sin. You have to agree with this picture. And so, number one, it's an act of faith. It's an exercise of faith. You have to exercise this every day. Okay? There used to be a prayer that I used to pray. I used to put my hand on my heart, and I would pray like a prayer that went over this. You know, God, I thank you that there's another that lives in my heart. You know, the Spirit. You know, your Holy Spirit, Christ, the light of the world. You know, I used to kind of preach this to myself and pray this as a way of getting myself to consider myself in this new way. So it's an exercise of faith that I'm going to ask you to do. The scripture says you must consider yourselves, okay? It's a choice. I think Hephzibah said it's a choice, right? It's a choice of which facts we will count upon and live by, okay? Because we have tried and we have fallen. We have fallen short, right? Are you going to live by that? Or are you going to live by the fact that it says, no, God has made us alive in Christ Jesus. He has set me free. We are above that gravity of sin. Okay? We could easily fall. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Right? So we're supposed to walk by faith. I'll give you guys one example of this, okay? So an example might help. So, and we'll close with that, okay? There was a time when at my current work, I used to work in an office, and the office, and it had two desks, okay? And the desks were laid out like this. And there was one guy that sat right here. And then I was sitting right here, okay? So I shared this office. And I had been at my work maybe about 6 months. And it really killed me to work in that office. Okay? I hated going to work. Because what happened is that this guy, I felt he didn't respect me as a person, okay? And so when I would try to talk to him in a conversation or talk about life, our personal life, or work, whatever, I just felt this huge disrespect. Like, not disrespect, but more than that. I felt he did not respect me as a person. He kind of looked down upon me. Maybe that's what it is. I felt he looked down upon me. Okay? And so I really, really hated working every day. Because how would you like to spend 40 hours a week in an office? And see, I'm facing this way, and he's facing this way. I'm feeling like he's looking at me constantly and just hitting me, you know? And I tried my best to get over it, but it was like me just jumping up and down. I just couldn't. And so it intensified, and I had no solution, guys. I had no solution. Does anyone relate to that, or is that like just really weird? Yeah, some of us?
Yeah.
Different things press different ones of us, right? But I'm just sharing with you what pressed my button. Yeah. Okay? For whatever reason, I needed to feel respect from him, but he was not going to give that to me. You know? Good for him, you know? But this was my Christian life, and I was falling and falling, and it ate me up. It just ate me up. And it just dominated my life. And so, but I was a Christian, obviously. I was coming to VCF, and I was seeking God for an answer. And God gave me an answer. And the answer came from a passage in the Old Testament about a woman named Abigail. Okay? And she was married to a guy named Nabal. Okay? And what it says is that Abigail was a beautiful, wise woman, but she was married to this foolish, harsh man. Okay? They call him a worthless fellow. Okay? He was a worthless fellow, but she was this beautiful, like, godly woman. And God spoke to me and said, look. Well, what he spoke to me is that there is a possibility of thriving even in a bad circumstance. This woman was not crushed by a worthless husband. Okay? But she, like the Bible talks really highly of her, and she does something really good, you know? And David ends up marrying King David. Okay? And so God spoke to me about that. And what it... And so as I sought God, okay, so how does... What should I do? Okay? God said, ignore this guy. Just ignore him. And I was like, that's not a very Christian thing to do. You know? Because I was trying to engage him as a Christian, but I was just getting rebuffed all the time. So partly I felt like a failure as a Christian, right? But God said, just ignore him. Okay? And so I even considered turning my desk this way so that I wouldn't have to look at him. And I asked him, is it okay if I turn my desk around? And he said, yeah, that's fine. But what I had to do was I had to just ignore him, because God said just ignore him. Okay? Not in a mean way, but what he was saying is, what he was doing actually was that, see, he had caused me to be dead to sin. Right? He says, be dead to sin, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. But what was happening was I was very much alive to this guy's disrespect or the feeling that I was being disrespected. I was very alive to that. I was overly sensitized to that. And what God was saying is, no, you stop that. You become dead to them. That part of you has to die. So when he said ignore this person, it wasn't like ignore him because he's a bad person. He's like, ignore him because my attention to this guy was bad and he had to kill them. Does that make sense? So I started to ignore him. And as I did that, I began to experience God's freedom. Because I was no longer obsessed by that, and it did not ruin my day anymore. Right? I did not let that ruin my day. I had other things to do. I began to set my mind on things of the Spirit versus constantly start hating this guy. Okay? And so over time, God set me completely free so that it no longer bothered me how he treated me. Okay? And the story is that eventually I became his boss. Okay?
Wow.
And I started giving him reviews. And I was not mean to him. But I was, because God had set me free, I was able to be a good boss to him. And then, it didn't matter if he respected me or not, because he set me free, you know? But I had to consider myself dead to sin, okay? That's an example of what it means to be dead to something, but alive to something. You stop paying attention to that. Alrighty. So, we've gone 1 minute over, so let me just pray for us. Okay? Thank you for staying. Okay. Come, Holy Spirit. We just thank you that you have been with us, God, in your word, as we fellowshiped over your word. Come, Holy Spirit, and plant these deep. Plant these deep so we can grow. Cause them to become solid foundations. Foundations that are built upon the one true foundation, the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Lord, and we've only covered as much as we can cover today, and there's questions, how do we make this practical, but we put our trust in you right now. And we just say, God, you lead us. You are our good shepherd, and you lead us through your Spirit. So for each one of us, God, I pray for that blessing of learning to walk in freedom, learning to set our minds on things of the Spirit. And even now, God, I just thank you. Would you just minister the cross right now to us? That where there are things that we have been alive to, that we're supposed to be dead to, that you just give us that grace to turn away from that right now and turn to you. May we experience your freedom more and more. Come and continue to minister to us as we go. We just thank you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you.